other than whatever, whenever, whatever.
Yeah.
That one. And, yeah. You know.
Ooh, is that Little John?
Maybe you can send me the links, Liza. Maybe I can play them. Send me the links and I'll play them later.
Mm, okay.
Yeah, do that. Send a playlist and we'll have a California dance party.
Bob played three of my songs tonight, so that was good. He was on point.
Which ones?
Radioactive. Lately, I've been hearing that. I've been listening to that a lot. I really like that song.
Is that the, oh.
Imagine Dragons.
Okay, okay, yeah. Is that what I was doing? It kind of reminds me of tribal, like people coming together and war.
No, but the lyrics are pretty cool, too, if you listen to the lyrics. So is that and what else? Animals, I'm sure you've heard of that, Maroon 5, Animals.
Yeah, I think maybe that's the one I'm talking about. I don't know. There was a song that I couldn't place.
Katy Perry, E.T.
I heard that one. Did you send that one?
Yeah.
I love that song. I couldn't figure out who it was at first because she's got so much hype lately of all of her new stuff, and I forgot all about that.
You know, when Katy Perry's E.T. came out, I had it on replay for a while. And also when Dark Horse came out, I sent it to Bob four times, and those four times he didn't play it. Finally,
yeah.
Ian told him to play Dark Horse, and we were on payday. He was like, play Dark Horse, and he did.
I sent it a lot, too, because I remember asking why it never got played yet or something, and it made Ion huffy, because I guess it had been. But only recently or something, and I'd missed it.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good one. I found where she covers some, other bands. I don't know. Katy Perry's good. I like her.
Yeah, she has a voice. And she's not like Beyonce or any of the other, most other artists who are so overrated.
Who's overrated?
Beyonce.
Is she?
Yeah. In my opinion. I don't
right.
know. Others may not agree, but my opinion.
Yeah, I know. I did maybe like over-branded or over-marketed, over-distributed. I like Jessie J. Have you heard her?
Yeah, I think so. Jessie J, and also the new young girl, X, something, XIX. I mean, she's okay. The songs I'm all for. What Youth, which I sent to Bob.
How do you hear, just a second, just now you gotta do something. How do you hear music? How do you keep up on it? Where do you find out about the latest, Liza?
Let's see. When I get into my car, I usually just turn on the radio if I'm not in the mood to listen to my own playlist.
So are there stations, or do you go to Paradox,
there's
or whatever
a few.
That thing's
yeah,
called?
There's a few stations that I would go back and forth, because there isn't one station that I listen to all the time, because they...
But it's the car radio. That's your...
Yeah.
See, I don't have a car. So it's the car radio is your way of getting it.
Yeah, but if you don't have a car, you can still listen to those songs, because at work, the girls play Pandora, and
Pandora,
the same
right.
songs come on.
Right, so what, let's see, we played Maroon 5, right?
Yeah.
Okay, you sent that one, didn't you, Eliza? E.T.?
Yeah, that was the third one.
The third one is Welcome to the New Age. Did you send that one?
It's really called Radioactive, but people say it's Welcome to the New Age, too, because you hear that in the song.
What is the name of the band?
Imagine Dragons.
Oh, okay. So Radioactive is the song. Did you say something, Sarah?
Yeah, that's what I was talking about, the people stomping. It's the hydraulic effect of the driven bass, or like the drum and bass, the that kind of music induces female submission triggers.
Hmm. Okay, I want to tell you a story. There was a newspaper in New York City called New York Press. Started in the early 90s, I think, and it took on the Village Voice. And it did pretty good. It forced the Village Voice to stop being so lackadaisical. And there are all these pretty good writers. Well, one of them was a guy named Alan Cabal, C-A-B-A-L. And I read an article by him where he said, Marsh McLuhan was the Andy Warhol of big science. And I thought that was a very clever statement about McLuhan, pretty accurate. Marsh McLuhan was the Andy Warhol of big science. So I met some of the writers of New York Press, and I told one of them, their editor, John Strasbaugh, that I was very impressed with Alan Cabal's statement. So the next time I met with some of these writers, Alan Cabal came, and we hit it off. So Alan Cabal, he didn't know much about me, but he decided to interview me and have a feature about me. But he never talked to me before we met. I don't know what he knew about me. So we meet at a restaurant, and he starts talking, I don't know, nothing. But he starts drinking a lot. But he asked one question that I remember. He said, what is Tetrad Management? And he said, then he answered, he said, is it what whoever that guy is who runs the Las Vegas, Steve Wynn? He says, is Steve Wynn's policy that the customer's always right? And by this time, Alan was getting a little drunk, and he had actually fallen off the chair. Like, he fell off the table. And this was a flashy restaurant, and so he was acting pretty crude. And so when he said, is it Tetrad Management, is it, and he said some semi-accurate statement, I said, yes. Because I didn't think that he would be capable of taking a more accurate description. Anyways, we went through, talked, and it wasn't really an interview, just talked about this and that. And that was that. So then, when it was time for the article to come out, it didn't happen. So I called him, I said, what's happening with the article? And he says, I don't know, the editor is stalling on it. So this went on for a couple of months. And he eventually told me that the editor said, I've looked at this guy, looked him up, this guy has no context talking about me. What's the point? What was the reason we're having an article on this guy? And so it got ditched because the editor could not find a reason for it. So I never saw what he wrote because he disappeared right after that. So, and that was 2004, 2005. So he disappears from New York. And I tried his number a couple times, but it was disconnected or led nowheres. And I think I read it. There was one little article showed up around that time, about 6 months later, where he wasn't writing as much as he was for the New York Press, but he talked about smuggling cigarettes. So it sounded like he was in a pretty bad way financially, and he was running cigarettes. And so that's the last I heard. So about a week ago, I thought of the editor, the guy who used to own the New York Press till he sold it in 2002 because he couldn't fathom raising a family in New York City anymore. He lived right down there in Tribeca, and he just was worried that they were going to get nuked again, so he moved back to Baltimore someplace. He was known as Mugger. Russ Smith, I think his name was. So he was a columnist named Mugger. So he sells the paper, so that leaves John Strasbaugh and all the writers with nothing, and they have to scramble to keep living in New York City. So I thought, oh, this mugger guy, I think he has a website. So I looked it up, and it's called splicetoday.com. So I went there, and lo and behold, there was Alan Cabal had an article. Now, I've posted about this on a little bit on Dupes. So I clicked on it, and there was about 12 articles starting last fall, and it begins with him leaving New York City in June 2005. And it describes his life since then, what he did. And he went to Lawrence, Kansas, and then he went to Las Vegas, and then he went to Mountain View, then back to the Pine Barrens of New Jersey a year or so ago. And then he moved down to Gainesville, Florida. So it's a very good series of articles because it describes what happened to America after 9/11, you know, the decaying, desolate America. And he is in the middle of it, and he's describing his life of hardship and different kinds of jobs. And what's revealing, he points out he lives in Mountain View, which is the heart of Silicon Valley, and he points out the racism in Silicon Valley, stuff you never hear about. So it's a good on-the-street, almost white trash level of life. The life that Sarah lives, you know, that level of the economy. So
the true voice of the gutter, yeah.
That's right, the gutter world. And it's funny and it's really interesting. So I posted the link. So I recommend people look and read his 12 or so articles describing America over the last 10 years. And it's worth knowing about. He goes into the nooks and crannies.
Yeah, so, that's right. I read the first two articles, and I was up to Werewolves of Vegas. But in
right.
none of those did he mention you, right? Because that one got thrown
no,
out.
No, there's never going to be any mention of me. He doesn't mention me at all. No, I don't even know what he remembers of me. But the point is that did you find them interesting, the articles?
The first two, yeah, they give you like a snapshot of his stay in New York and then moving out to Kansas and he had a girlfriend.
Daisy, yeah, which is still there. The point is you'll see what's happening in each of these cities. I mean, they're short articles, but he does a good overview and just tells you what, you know, how bad America has become. Everybody ripping off everybody, you know. And you might get depressed, but forget that. Just read it because you're going to learn some things. And let's see. So Carol and I have been reading it and catching up just the last week. So it comes out every Friday. So the new article comes out on Friday, yesterday. But I forgot to mention there's a couple of quotes in there that are ionic, a couple of direct lifts from Ion. So I'm, and he's very interested in the occult. You ever heard of the Necronomicon, Sarah?
No, never, Bob. I don't know what you're talking. The Necronomicon?
Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
You know that was a novel by Lovecraft, right? Something
right, and then Clive Barker used it a lot.
Right, and then there is something called the Necronomicon, which was made by the gang around the magical child and the Aleister Crowley cult in this bookstore on West 19th Street, East 19th maybe, in New York City. Well, Alan was a member of that, and he helped create the Necronomicon, whatever it is. I've never seen it. Is this something like dream analysis, a way to use your dreams or something? Anyways, if you have read that, you've been influenced by him, by Alan. So he talks about that throughout, you know, different things throughout the column. So he calls himself an occultnik. You know, like there's beatnik, nudnik. Well, he's an occultnik. So he may have come across Ion. You know, he's on that level of radar. He's up on the latest stuff, and he might have heard us. So there's a couple of times where it seems right out of the quotes that Ion uses, one of our cliche quotes. So I don't know, but that's curious. So then I should give you an example of what he writes, because what I'm going to read is he's now presented his first fiction story this week, and that's what we're going to look at. But before we do that,
What's his fiction called?
We'll get to it. I'm not telling you yet.
Well, I just read something that came out this week that was fiction, and I was very impressed with it. And I
no, no, it's an article. It's just an. It's not a book. It's an article. Okay, so he does have here, recently he wrote a column, 20 Proposals for a Better World. So here's what he recommends. Give Nevada to the Palestinians or the Jews, not both. Maybe they could appoint a representative each to play rock, paper, and scissors for it. Two, scrap the antiquated primary process for selecting presidential candidates in the USA and replace it with pro wrestling matches and talent contests. Or better yet, something along the lines of that old reality show, Fear Factor. I'd pay to see John McCain lay down naked in a glass coffin full of maggots, or Hillary Clinton eating a quarter pound of cockroaches. I guess that's what they used to do on Fear Factor. You guys know that show?
Yeah.
Three, abolish taxation entirely and fund the government with pornography and recreational drugs. Four, replace the fluoride in the water with DMT and an MAO inhibitor. MAO inhibitor. Don't know what that is.
No, MAO.
You know what that is?
It's kind of like a beta blocker. Do you know what a beta blocker is?
It's a drug, right?
Right. An MAO inhibitor would be... it would be like a reuptake inhibitor in the brain, so it would cause probably less inhibition or something.
Okay, this is what he says. Replace the fluoride in the water with DMT and an MAO inhibitor. It'd be like ayahuasca without the taste or purgative effects. I prefer LSD, but what?
I was just about to say he's probably familiar with the ayahuasca world when he mentioned DMT.
Yeah. I prefer LSD, but unfortunately LSD became inert very quickly in... No. LSD, but... I prefer LSD, but unfortunately LSD becomes inert very quickly in water. People rarely become violent when they're busy telepathically communing with machine elves in another dimension. Fire the police and legalize everything. Sure, it'd be bumpy at first, but things would sort themselves out quickly. Besides, common wisdom dictates that cops are like a box of chocolates. They'll kill your dog.
Ha-ha! That's genius. That's great.
Six, genetically engineer flying great white sharks. The image of flying sharks randomly attacking hapless pedestrians is just too appealing. Seven, abolish the First Amendment. Tell Americans to shut the fuck up. Establish an official state religion based on the Necronomicon, which he wrote, and sacrifice infidels to Yog-Sothoth at halftime during the Super Bowl. Eight, anyone worth more than $1 million should be forced to go naked in public. Nine, replace Congress with an artificial intelligence system. They're already artificial, but at least it would be intelligent. Has anyone ever seen John Boehner sober? I rest my case.
Boehner,
yeah. Force Hollywood to make a sequel to The Magic Christian before Ringo Starr dies. Include authentic snuff footage of Justin Bieber, the entire Kardashian family, Lindsay Lohan, Adam Sandler, Amanda Burns, Paris Hilton, and her awful brother, I think he means Perez Hilton, that doesn't know they're not related, right?
I hope so, because that would make that really funny.
Yeah. Jay-Z, kill also Kanye West, Drake, Governor Scott Walker of Wisconsin, he's the leader in the presidential race right now, and the Koch brothers, they supposedly fund the Tea Party. 11.
Well, Drake's
free
Canadian.
Yes.
So he can't be
11.
In there.
11. Free Charles Manson. 12, exile Donald Rumsfeld and Dick Cheney to Somalia. 13, recruit the very best body modification specialist to transform George W. Bush into Gollum. Addict him to heroin and set him loose on the streets with no money and a no ID.
Do you know who Gollum is?
No, who's that?
He's that little creature-looking thing in Lord of the Rings, that little guy. His name is Sméagol.
Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah.
I know who you mean. 14, inject Bill and Melinda Gates with every vaccine known to man. 15, seize Jeff Bezos' wealth, that's Amazon, and redistribute it to every Amazon worker. Put him to work in a salt mine somewhere. 16, nuke Burning Man. Seriously, who needs those people? 17, You like that.
Nuke them.
17, give New York City back to the Indians. 18, let the Nazis live in peace on the moon. Stop bombing them and invading their space. They had the decency to leave. Have some respect.
Yeah. Yeah, why is there a race to blow up the moon? Oh, because that's where the Nazis reside.
19, replace the Statue of Liberty with a statue of Miley Cyrus twerking in the general direction of Europe.
Oh,
and replace the Star-Spangled Banner with insane clown posses. Let's go all the way.
Wow.
All right. 20.
Do you know about that, Bob? Do you know what that is? Insane clown posse?
No.
That is, I don't know. One time I told you about emo subgenre of punk rock, and you said, well, there's something that I didn't know about. I feel like Insane Clown Posse is a subculture that has little to communicate, but a lot to tell.
Oh, is that right? So we should maybe play them? Let's go all the way?
Oh, yeah, maybe.
Okay, 20. Let Vlad Putin run for president of the United States in 2016. He says, now that's 20 proposals. Then he says, these proposals, if implemented, would result in a much more entertaining world than the never-ending shitstorm we presently occupy. When life gives you lemons, reach for the tequila and salt. Okay, so that's his attempt at political rational thinking. Now we come to the story, this fiction story. Now, this week, so when I saw, that he was starting to dip into our world, I wrote to him. I found his email somewhere else, and I said, all that I told you I'd do 10 or 11 years ago came true, Alan. That's how I start. All that I told you I'd do 10 or 11 years ago came true, Alan. ... Reading all of your series at splicetoday.com. I noticed you, now he uses the iatrogenic fact. You haven't read it yet, but he goes to a doctor. The doctor is terrible. So the doctor is claiming about how bad cancer is, and Alan points out to him that no, you know who the number one killer in America is? And the doctor doesn't know. And he tells the doctor that doctors are. That fact was what Carolyn proved in 2003. She's the one who came up with that idea that the biggest killer in America are doctors. It's called iatrogenic disease. So I said, reading all of your series at splicetoday.com, I noticed you used the iatrogenic fact that my bride of 44 years created. Then I have a link to her site where he can look at the book. Scroll down to the ninth book, which is called Death in Modern America. Is that what it is? Death in America.
Yeah. Death in, like I love that you can brag about it and use it to insult
modern
people.
Medicine?
But you don't really know.
I don't know. I can't
Death by Modern title. Medicine.
Is that what it is? Death by Modern Medicine?
Yeah.
Then I say, there are a few other neat overlaps, too. Meanwhile, I've got a revolution by the tail and breaking all records, and I give a link to the Ion archive, Bob and Ion. Then I say, that's all I'm going to type until I see if this reaches you. So I haven't heard from him yet. So,
Munger? Is that who you said he goes
no,
by?
No, this is what? Alan Cabal. That's who's not the Munger. Alan Cabal, the writer.
Right, but you said that he had a name at the New York
No,
paper.
That's the owner of the New York Press who sold it in 2002 because he got afraid he was going to get nuked again. He lived in Tribeca. He is Russ Smith, and his column was called Mugger. He was known as
Mugger.
Well,
then how is he associated with this guy, or who is this guy?
Alan wrote for him. Alan wrote for the New York Press.
Okay, I see.
Right, so then I think he continued reading. Yeah, he must have because he was going to have me in there in 2004, 2005. It's almost like I was his last article. It got rejected, so he left New York City. So he met his maker when he met me. So here I am writing to him to see if he'll bite. So that was a couple of days ago. So then we wait for his new article where I thought he would hopefully continue his adventures of America, but he took a break and he writes his fiction. So I'm going to read you the fiction, and you will see why. So he says... The fiction is called, if you want to look it up, Sarah, and read along, you go to splicetoday.com and put in Alan Cabal in search, and then you'll see the fiction is called Ruthless as the Rain. You see that?
Oh, yeah, I'm going to go do it.
But you can't, as a reading along, do not read ahead, okay?
Okay, hold on. Do you want me to tell you when I've got it pulled up?
Fuck that. I don't care if you get it. I'm going to start reading.
Okay, go ahead.
No, but you'll miss it because you'll be too distracted trying to get it. So I shouldn't have told you where it was because you're going to fuck around with it. But maybe you'll, like, I don't know if you would rush ahead. Let's see who's here. Has anybody showed up? Anonymous is here. Who is Anonymous, I wonder? Hey, Corbin, you got anything to say? Hey, Corbin was sleeping, so...
Okay, I've got it, but I only have, like, the headline on there, so...
Okay, where is it? There it is. Okay, here it goes. I was standing on line at Starbucks when I first heard it. I hate Starbucks in principle, but it was raining and cold, and I had a mad craving for a great big caramel macchiato with whipped cream and a shot of hazelnut, something hot and sweet. It was steamy and warm in the Starbucks on Castro Street. I guess that would be San Francisco. The inside glowed like golden hour film stock, the kind Gordon Willis used in The Godfather. Outside was all Hitchcock black and white, dark gloom and wind and driving cold rain, a typical November day in Northern California. I'd come into town to deposit a check at the bank and return a couple of videos and books to the library. I was soaked. Everybody was. There were three or four people in line, and the usual scattering of people seated around engaged with their phones, iPads, and laptops. There was no conversation. Second, I clicked on. There was no conversation.
Oh, man, I scrolled down too far.
Hey, don't fucking see. I told you. I'm going to mute you.
Don't
see,
fucking
up,
give
man.
Fucking things away, Bob. Go ahead.
I'm muting you. You fucked up, man. I told you not to fucking come in and fuck around. So we've muted her. All right. The wind whipped the trees outside, scattering soaked dead leaves all over the sidewalk. In another half hour or so, the lunch crowd would arrive, the 20-something worker bees of Google and the other tech companies clustered around Mountain View would swarm all over Castro Street, creating the near-gridlock situation that signifies lunch in this town. A cute little white girl stood in front of me in line, somewhere in the college years, as white as a glass of milk, about 5 feet 6 inches tall, thin, glasses, dark hair and a pixie-looking cut. Soaked in her cobalt blue North Face rain jacket and Levi's jeans. Beautiful, delicate hands, long fingers, right hand hitched by the thumb to the strap on her pack. For some reason, I thought she was from Oregon. She was wearing gray Nikes. Gray Nikes make me think of Oregon. I've never been there. She was just about to order when it happened. But then it has this quote, "Hey, fuckface." All right, you got that, Eliza? Hey, fuckface.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm reading along.
Oh, okay. Don't read ahead.
I'm not.
Right? Yeah. Hey, fuckface. I heard it. The male cashier heard it. She heard it. The cashier broke eye contact with her and looked at me. She turned to me and started to speak. She spluttered, "What did you..." Hey, fuckface. It was a male voice. It sounded like Jack Nicholson. It was coming from the right breast pocket of her jacket. It was calm. It seemed a little louder the second time, but still calm. The girl wasn't calm at all. Her facial expression went from accusatory outrage to astonishment to anguish and outright blind fury as she seized her iPhone from the pocket. Hey, fuckface. No longer muffled by her pocket, still very calm, but loud enough that people looked up from their phones and laptops and iPads. It sounded more like Sean Connery this time. For a moment, the room was silent. Choking back a sob, the girl answered the phone. After a brief pause, she shrieked, threw the iPhone to the floor, shattering it on impact, and fled screaming into the torrential rain, all eyes following her sprint to the door. The cashier looked at me. I looked at him. "Wow," he said. "Yeah," I replied. "Weird choice of ringtone. David Lynch fan, maybe. She didn't look like a tweaker." So the guy says, "Head case, probably. Never seen her before, but we get a lot of them here. What can I get you? Hey, fuckface. Over my left shoulder, an Asian guy at a table with an iPad and an expression of abject horror on his face. I look back at the cashier. His face is frozen on the iPad guy. He looks the way I imagine people look when they see Bigfoot or a flying saucer. Was it Peter Coyote's voice? Quote, I want your giant caramel macchiato with whipped cream and a shot of hazelnut, I said. Hey, fuckface. Everybody was staring at the guy with the iPad. The entire room was transfixed. Felt like a bad acid trip. The warm incandescent glow of the room and its market research determined earth tones contrasted with the harsh quivering darkness of the storm outside. The tense apprehensive silence of the room punctuating and emphasizing the offensive morphing baritone voice. The Asian guy vomited all over his iPad, watery cafe au lait colored liquid, watery cafe au lait colored liquid with bits of biscotti the size of croutons. It looked like Campbell's French onion soup with little croutons in it mixed with coffee. Outside, the wind suddenly died down and the rain stopped. Complete silence. Everyone fixated on Vomit Boy with the iPad. And then, like some sick madrigal from all directions in the room, slightly staggered. Hey, fuckface! Every wireless device in the room. Calm, loud, and sounding exactly like Barbara Streisand. Hey, fuckface! It was like waves crashing against a jetty. Like Pink Floyd's 360-degree sound system in miniature going in and out. A statuesque older white woman dressed entirely in L.L. Bean clothes and accessories totally lost it, foaming at the mouth and uttering a horrid guttural sound as she pushed her laptop, coffee, and cell phone to the floor. She slid off her chair, twitching, and began convulsing on the floor, squirming around in the spilled coffee and the detritus of her gadgets. I figured she was from Palo Alto. The cashier was paying no attention to me at all. So he says, I'd like a really big caramel macchiato. Sometime today, I'm stoned and I have to be somewhere. Then he says, it's legal to be stoned in California. It's one of the very few advantages of the place. It's mainly that and the weather and the fact that you can run around naked if you want to. I never did get my caramel macchiato. The cashier announced that the place was closed and called 911 for an EMT. I left, leaning into the wind and the rain as I made my way to my car. Traffic on Castro Street was a mess, little fender benders happening all over the place. I got to my car and got in. The rain sounded very romantic on the car, like rain on a tin roof. I lit a cigarette, turned the key in the ignition, turned on the defroster, and turned on the radio, 7:40 a.m., CBS News. The announcer sounded breathless, quote, and GPS devices. Google announced that their engineers are working on restoring all Google services, including the search engine. And Apple, Samsung, AT&T, and Verizon have made similar announcements. Industry response was swift, but there is still no information on what caused this phenomenon, and there has been no information forthcoming from either the state or federal government. End of radio broadcast. I switched over to 103.7 FM, the oldie station. It was playing Louie Louie by the Kingsmen. That's a song that Zappa played up and distorted all the time. There were sirens in the distance in every direction. I remembered that I had a Trader Joe's eggplant parmesan, or however you say that, eggplant
parmesan,
frozen dinner in the freezer. That's the thing about being stoned all the time. It's all about weird cravings. I figured to swing by Safeway, pick up a case of Pabst, head home, nuke the eggplant, smoke some more pot, get drunk and write. No need at all for me to be out in this shit. By the time I got to Safeway, I'd passed a dozen minor accidents and one really horrific one right where the off-ramp from Central converges with Shoreline. I bought a bisected minivan, a shredded BMW, and a huge white municipal pickup on its side. Blood and meat all over the place. I kept it peripheral. I didn't look right at it. 103.7 kept playing Louie Louie. I switched over to K-Fog. Same thing, playing Louie Louie. 107.7 The Bone. Same thing. It was Louie Louie at every point on the FM dial. Cops were directing traffic at Shoreline and Montecito, where the Safeway is. The rain was unrelenting, coming down in great streaks. Drops the size of NATO rounds, thudding against the car. Idiots were hydroplaning all around me. What's hydroplaning? Just sliding? Anybody know? Hydroplaning?
Mm-mm.
Surfing? Idiots were hydroplaning all around me. I parked right near the entrance and dashed in. There were cops gathered at the Starbucks kiosk inside. It looked like the aftermath of a Stephen King novel. Spilled food and condiments everywhere. Those little yellow plastic sawhorse type things warning about slippery wet surfaces. employees with mops in every aisle, except thankfully the beer aisle, which looked like the big one had hit. Obviously, they were saving it for last. I wrestled two cases of PBR out of the cooler and made for the one cashier that was open. The line was long. The manager was standing next to the cashier. The cash register system was down, so they couldn't accept debit or credit cards. The scanners were down, so the manager had to look up the occasional item price in a sheaf of papers on a clipboard. Luckily, I had cash. The people in line were muttering about hackers, Arabs, Trojans, worms, spam bots. Thankfully, they hadn't gotten to the Illuminati yet. That implies that he's the Illuminati. There was ample time. They would. The incredibly fat white guy in front of me insisted loudly that Obama did it. Cabal says, David Mamet did this, I said. You know who David Mamet is, Sarah? No, oh, I muted Sarah. Email whether you knew or not, Sarah. Email me. Just joking. Okay, let's see. You know who David Mamet is, Sarah?
No.
Famous playwright, baby boomer playwright, very famous, New York 70s, 80s, 90s. I think he made a few movies. He would make plays about tough guys, New Jersey tough guys, I guess, which is where Alan Cabal grew up. All right, so we go back to this story. So he jokingly says, David Mamet did this. So the fat man says, who's David Mamet? I sighed as theatrically as I could and remained silent. I handed the cashier my money and hustled my way out to the car. My shitty little apartment had never felt cozier. I cracked a beer and turned on the radio. It was set to 88.5 FM, the local NPR affiliate. I spit beer through my nose when I heard Laurie Anderson's voice very calmly saying, shit, meet fan, fan, meet shit. I lit a half-smoked joint. Shit, meet fan, meet shit. Over and over it went, again and again and again. It was soothing because it was Laurie Anderson's voice, but I wanted some news. I flipped the dial to 7:40 a.m. and sat down. A male announcer, sounding very frightened. The sound was bad, like a broadcast from 1939, all crackly with static and tinny. So then he's quoting, Then he's quoting the interrupted broadcast, or he comes in mid-word. Emergency broadcast system was shut down immediately when it began to exhibit symptoms of compromise. The phenomenon knows no borders. Wherever there is an internet connection or a cellular signal, it is there. There have been no demands. Security experts agree that it's not a virus. It's unlike anything ever seen before. The Department of Homeland Security has taken the country to the highest level of alert. Once again, remain in your homes. Turn off your cell phones and landlines. Do not go outside unless you have a medical emergency. Law enforcement will be enforcing this temporary curfew. FEMA has announced that, and then it went to static, oscillating waves of static. I couldn't stop grinning. I knew it would be pointless, but I couldn't resist. I went to the kitchen and booted up my laptop. I had to see. I had to try. End of story. Now, do you get it? That directly relates to us.
Mm-hmm. Ion was behind it.
That is a good metaphor for Ion showing up.
Mm-hmm. And we were talking about the electric environment.
Yes. So Ion took over the cloud. He's done many more things than say, hey, fuckface. But here's Alan, writes this fiction. We don't know when he wrote it, but he posted after I made contact with him. I can even tell him that he wrote about what I emailed him about. So I thought that was pretty good serendipitous synchrony. Is it understood by you people? Do you get it?
Yep, we get it.
You're a long-time listener. Long-time listener, first-time caller. So I found that pretty neat. So we will see where our relationship with Alan Cabal. He is very negative about life in America. I will eventually tell him that I will begin to mock him. We do not need to have such negativity forever foisted from his being.
He needs the RNA drops because he's been bouncing around from state to state, and he seems like from the first two articles that I read, that he was just low on his luck.
Yeah. He's acting out his desperate, despairing view. He's totally example of what Ion says can happen to the little man. He's got many health problems. He's a wreck. So you can enjoy the story and then see what happens as we catch up, as he catches up to us. Because he is the only one who wanted to do an interview with me, so he's got that going for him.
Mm-hmm. He didn't die. He has that going for him.
Yeah. And he said Marshall McLuhan was the Andy Warhol of big science. Okay, so we don't have anybody. Where's Bert? Where are the regulars? Nobody here. Oh, here's, we'll let Sarah back in. So what do you think of that, Sarah? Did you rush ahead of me? Did you guys rush ahead?
I just saw the fuck face thing. All I did was scroll down and see that in quotes. And it's right. So separate from everything else. It just, yeah. I love it.
Do you find him to be a good writer?
I enjoy his writing. It's kind of simple, but he has a knack of describing interpersonal violent encounters, which are pretty good. I don't know though.
It's not interpersonal description. It's just description of the surroundings. No.
You got to see what he refers to. He knows a lot.
No. I see it, but I'm saying the writing technique itself is not as important as the.
He's expressing a contemporary hip awareness. You'll see in different columns, he'll let you know what he knows. And so he could be a Project Camelot listener, but he's not stupid like those people. He's smart. He's persona non grata at Cirque du Soleil because he argued with the management so much. He worked for them. He worked in circus. He did a lot of different everything. He's almost like an update of Charles Bukowski.
Yeah.
But the important thing is he met me, and he had dinner with me, and he fell off
the table. I just think there's a structure to his writing where it appears that he has done some kind of research into what makes a story palatable.
He's carved out a style.
Right, the style in itself is not revolutionary. It's definitely a tried and true method of description. What Dorothy Parker or Virginia Woolf.
He's found his voice. He's found his voice.
Yeah.
You know, he has a little wrinkle and a little contribution to make because he's found his voice. I mean, he wrote good articles back in the late 90s, early 2000s. I always read his articles. They were eccentric or bizarre phenomena he'd look into. But you'll see. You know, he talks like Andrew. He's Andrew in print. Is Andrew still here?
Oh, totally. Yeah, I'm seeing that. It's good. They use the triad thing where they can communicate a lot of information in a safe way. A safe way meaning that the people it can reach, it can reach more people.
Maybe I'll read one that stands out, that shows something of what he knows or what his reference point is that's similar to Project Camelot. Let's see, there it is. I will... I have to figure out which one it is. Maybe it's a good landlord is hard to find. No, it's not that one. Go back.
still looking. No, not that one.
Yeah, this is it. So it's called An Augury of 2015. So he writes this second day of 2015. Subtitle, It's Going to Be a Bumpy Ride. So this is his worldview. He says, it's the end of the world as we know it, and while I don't exactly feel fine, I'm pretty optimistic about the world situation for the first time since 9/11. I was 8 years old. I mean, he was born in 53, 54. I was 8 years old when the USA and the USSR faced off during the Cuban Missile Crisis of 1962. That was hairy. The USA had positioned nukes right on their doorstep in Turkey, and so the Soviets planted a few in Cuba. Oddly, I remember that time entirely in black and white, like an old Twilight Zone episode or Dr. Strangelove. We came close. We're closer now. So he's picking up on the paranoia right now with Americans, you know, bugging Putin. He says, I saw the new feudalism coming down the pike in 1981 when Ronald Reagan broke the Professional Air Traffic Controllers Organization, a union that had supported him in his 1980 presidential campaign. When Reagan took office in 1981, there were on average 150,000 temporary workers hired per day in America. By 1984, when he was reelected, that number had reached 1.5 million. I don't know where it is now. I don't want to look. In 1992, incumbent President George H.W. Bush supported NAFTA, while his ostensible opponent Bill Clinton claimed to oppose it. Actually, they were on the same team. I knew because I knew about the cocaine coming in from Nicaragua through MENA, Arkansas. I voted for Ross Perot, who took 18.9% of the vote. Clinton signed NAFTA, and that quote, giant sucking sound, unquote, that Perot said would accompany the flow of American jobs to peasant labor south of the border, ensued. The giant sucking sound ensued at roaring volume, louder than anything else, like Motorhead. Over the past three decades, I've put up with a lot of shit from people who look but don't observe. Mainly, I got illiterate accusations of being Chicken Little from people who hadn't read the book. It's Henny Penny who claims the sky is falling, morons. I've gotten the tinfoil hat accusation for my interest in Fortean phenomena. Tesla, Bucky Fuller, and obscured history, popularly known as conspiracy theory. I get drug addict and alcoholic a lot, even today, despite the fact that I have only ever been truly addicted to tobacco, a herb, and I've never been to an AA, well, addicted to tobacco, a herb, meaning he's addicted to marijuana, or he's saying tobacco's a herb, I don't know. And I've never been to an AA meeting, nor do I have any need or desire to attend one. Booze beats Valium, hands down. On board the carrier, so I remember him writing about this. He got a chance to do an article on the military, so he got on this big aircraft carrier. On board the carrier, USS Theodore Roosevelt, in the first week of 2002, while they were bombing the crap out of the Tora Bora region, I opined that if we put boots on the ground anywhere in the Middle East in the wake of 9/11, we'd be fucked. The cocky officers agreed. In short, I'm keen on history and pretty goddamn good at tracking trends. I think 2015 is going to be as painful and ecstatic as having a baby, one experience that I can assure you I have no familiarity with. The American empire is over. Imperial overreach has peaked with the Ukraine coup, a purely NATO device to undermine Russia. People with no integrity have no way of comprehending the thinking of people with integrity. Psychopaths are not usually very smart. The West doesn't grasp Vladimir Putin because they can't wrap their mercenary heads around the idea of a national leader who can't be bought, who cares about his nation and his people. Western leaders only care about their sponsors. Perot quit politics, saying shadow government forces had threatened the lives of his family. No third-party candidate for the presidency has been allowed into the sanctioned debate since. They wouldn't even allow Ralph Nader into the hall in 2000, even though he had a ticket. The West put boots on the ground in Afghanistan, the boneyard of empires. Not only don't they read Kipling, they don't remember what happened to the USSR, which was right next door. It looks dark. The crisis moment on my only
what's this? The crisis moment on my only ayahuasca trip back in 2004 in a remodeled firehouse in Jersey City came after the fourth cup. The crisis moment came after the fourth cup when the little hobbity Peruvian shaman shoved a pipe load of salvia divinorum into my face. It was then that I became convinced that I'd fallen into some Lovecraftian night eternal and unending darkness. That perception was immediately followed by an explosion of light and color, tropical fecundity in its wildest and paradoxically most Lovecraftian form. The rainforest occupied my head. I saw the jaguar. How does that tinfoil hat feel now that you're wearing it? How does it feel to stand in the post-911 skyfall rubble of a former republic turned fascist dictatorship? How does it feel to be a serf? How does it feel to know that the Second Amendment is the only one left? It's all turning because the Reagan... Oop, I heard a click. Let's check, see if I'm still there. Everybody there? Oh, I have to unmute. I don't have to unmute. Anybody there? Did I get disconnected?
Hydroplaning is what tires do, Bob.
Beg your pardon? What'd you say?
I said hydroplaning is what tires do.
You mean when you're sliding about?
That's right. The thin film of water that does not allow your tire to get grip.
You're skidding. Okay. For a second, I thought it meant kids. You know, they have these flat boards. They sort of slide on in the beach or on wet areas.
No, that's the sensational effect of that, of like bodyboarding kind of thing.
Yeah.
The coasting.
Well, feet boarding.
Yeah. It's
that
not
would,
that,
that
like
would be sliding.
Backspin. Feel, though, that levitation.
Okay. All right, so we're all connected. So he says, how does it feel to know that the Second Amendment is the only one left? What is the Second Amendment? Is that the right to bear arms?
Yes, Bob.
Okay. It's all turning because the Reaganomics model and the imperial model are short-sighted and unsustainable. A smash and grab by a small gang of well-bred, well-coiffed, and well-manicured looters in designer suits. Their police state model for the future is failing, universally. Cops are targets now. Radical capitalism run amok has resulted in global uprisings increasingly tending toward mutant forms of national socialism and communism. These mutations might very well be more viable than the original forms. Western democracy is as dead as Julius Caesar. It's not enough to complain. One must build a better model. The police in the USA are killing black Americans at a rate that the Ku Klux Klan in its glory days could only dream of. Everybody knows. That's the Leonard Cohen song. Everybody knows, everybody sees it. Drug prohibition is on its last legs, staggering mindlessly toward repeal. The private prison industry is coming under intense scrutiny for its contractually guaranteed quotas and its shameless use of prisoners as slave labor. The latest tech bubble is bursting. The new real estate bubble is bursting. And the American economy is currently driven by the black market and subprime auto loans. Saudi Arabia and the American oligarchy are attempting to bankrupt Putin's autonomous Russia and other states that refuse to kneel before American hegemony by artificially driving the cost of oil down. This is already backfiring, and it will destroy the USA economy. That's not a bad thing. The USA, the EU, and NATO are the final countdown for empire, and they are falling apart. Greed and corruption, left unchecked, invariably fail. Cannibalism is the logical end of capitalism. 2015 is going to be a bumpy ride, but as Fox Mulder says to Agent Scully in the very last line of the very last episode of The X-Files, quote, maybe there's hope, unquote. Then he says, I think I saw you in an ice cream parlor, drinking milkshakes cold and long. Now, we all know that I'm eating a lot of ice cream, so look at that. He doesn't even know who he saw. I think I saw you in an ice cream parlor drinking milkshakes cold and long. What do you think of that, guys? So, that's his worldview. He's right. It's falling apart, and it's getting better because Bob's in town. Everything I told him 10 years ago is coming true.
The uncle entendre. So, go ahead and try.
So, that's our Alan Cabal installment for tonight. We wish the same for you. Let's see. Oh, there's Eliza. So what do you think of that, Eliza? Enjoy. Did you miss some of that?
Yeah, I hit the off button on my phone by accident. But no, I got most of it.
And you can read it.
Mm-hmm.
So, It's 11:57 my time, so we get over the hour. If nobody has anything to say, we're going to have to play some McLuhan.
I wanted to point out that he wrote that he was sitting online, or he was, what was it? He's standing online.
When? Which article?
At the Starbucks.
No, he
must have been the first one, the fuck face one.
Everybody else was there. He was just drinking, and everybody else was on their iPhones and iPads, and there was no conversation. That's what he said.
Okay, he was standing in line then. It was just a misprint, and I didn't know if he was talking about.
No, he was standing in line. That's right, waiting to get his thing, and then the Hey Fuckface started broadcasting. Then it came out of everybody's iPhone.
Well, yeah, except
over
for
the radio.
His, apparently, if he had one.
All radio stations were playing Louie Louie. And then Laurie Anderson's Shit Fan. I don't know if that's on. Do you know it? Shit Fan, Meat, Shit Something.
Yeah, what was that?
That's a quote from a Laurie Anderson song.
Yeah, Fan, Meat, Shit, Shit, Meat, Fan.
What'd you say?
He said Fan, Meat, Shit, Shit, Meat, Fan.
Oh, yeah, right. And that's, what song is that that she did?
I don't know.
You don't know.
I'm not familiar with her.
Oh, so you don't know her? 1980. Wah, 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 wah. Wah, 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 wah. Remember that song where she just goes, wah,
no,
wah,
you got to give
wah.
Me a little bit more than that.
Oh, okay. You know it.
Yeah, give us some more, Bob. What is it? Give us some more.
He goes, wah, 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 wah.
Laurie Anderson.
Yeah, famous. She married Lou Reed. Who died last year, or pretty recently. She's an artist who got a hit song in the early 80s. Maybe I could find it and play it for you. I could just do it quickly, not make it perfect. Just go to YouTube, bring it up, and then let it come through my speakers rather than make it perfect. So